Y'all can talk. It's not evil for brethren to talk. All right? You don't have to be Pentecostal. What does it say? What does it say? The spiritual, restore the spirit of what? Gentle. Gentle. I can't believe you stumbled again. What's wrong with you? Oh, man. You're going to make them feel like dirt. They're going to go right back and do it again. With gentleness. What is the next one? Don't overlook it. Looking to your self. My father told me quite several times, right? Really, the only difference between you and the other person, you haven't made God. Because you know that the same thing that they're struggling with, you've done it in your mind, right? And so, don't come to them thinking that I got this down, because you don't. So you notice then that to restore, you have to have an attitude, a correct attitude about yourself. You don't have it all down. I don't. Right, brother? We don't have it down. All right, so look into yourself, because you too can be tempted with the very same thing they're being tempted. Yeah, that's what the text says. All right, so we should be in the business of restoring. Have you restored someone? You should. You should. Help them. Meet with them. Young, old, get together with them and help them to be restored and to grow in their faith. Very important, all right? So this is the restoration of the struggling Christian. All right? So let's go to number two. This is where it gets hairy or interesting, right? Everybody gets all quiet. Well, y'all are already quiet. But you having the after Christmas blues or what? What's going on? Rejoice, rejoice. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 5. And again, we're gonna see that the Bible sets forth the case first, the issue. And then it gives us the solution, how to restore them, how to fix the problem. How to fix the problem. Okay, this is the willful sinning believer who has been put out of fellowship, but repents and wants to be welcomed back into fellowship. Now, before we even read the text, certain people, commit a sin, and it's like, oh man, how appalling. How could you do that? And I don't want to repent, but then we're going to have to remove you from fellowship. And here's the thing, and you be honest, right? Be honest. Here's the thing. You say, well, how do I know they're not going to do it again? And I can't believe they did that. Pervert, right? And we can say just mean things and not want to bring them back. I say that because what the person in 1 Corinthians did was pretty bad. And I'll be honest with you, I would have a hard time restoring this dude. I really would, because I would always be like, man, don't get near my family, right? All right, so let's look at the text. And chapter 5, we're going to read it. It is actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of such kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles. So it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad that someone has his father's wife, and you have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, in order that the one who had done this deed might be removed from your midst. So the instruction is, this is terrible. You should have removed them from the fellowship. Let's continue. For I, on my part, though absent in the body but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this, as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver, this is making a lot of noise, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So we know that he was a true believer. He was a true believer. Right? And so what is he saying? He's basically saying remove from fellowship, because he was actually practicing it. Right. So there has to be a discipline on behalf of the church. When something like this is happening, you know about it, you confront the person, and the person needs to be then disciplined for that particular sin. Verse 6, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened, for Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. Now watch the clarification. I did not at all mean with immoral people of the world. So it says, when a Christian believer is immoral, you should not associate with them, but remove yourself or keep away from having fellowship with a Christian who has been disciplined because of immorality and removed. So in other words, don't hang out with them, have them over for dinner, and say, oh man, I feel so sorry for you. The others were so mean for removing you. They shouldn't. That right there, you're sinning already against the instruction of Scripture and against the elders of the church. Right? So don't associate with them when they've been disciplined and removed. Because a person who's rebellious doing that is going to want to get a following to justify what he did and get people on his side. Try to split the whole church. Verse 10, I did not mean at all with an immoral people of this world. The people of this world, of course they're going to do that. But the believer has a different standard. Or with covetous or swindlers, or with idolaters. So it's not just that particular sin, but someone who's covetous, who's a swindler, who's an idolater. For then, you would have to go out of the world. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he should be an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or reviler, or drunkard, or swindler, or not even eat with such a one. So, not just immorality, it's somebody who's drinking all the time. And you catch them drunk all the time. Hey, brother, you need to stop doing that. And then you need to rediscipline him because he won't stop, or her. There's ladies who like to juice too, you know. Yeah. All right. Verse 12. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not know? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourself. All right, so there's a case of this guy in immorality. Paul finds out about it and he instructs the church to remove him from fellowship and not to associate with him. He needs to be disciplined and removed. He was a believer. The Bible says he was. Right? And so that's the case. So far everybody's, yeah, wow, yes. That's right. You did the right thing. Okay? Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 2. So this is the follow-up. The follow-up. All right, we're just going to cut in verse 5. All right, everybody there? 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 5. But if any has caused sorrow, he has caused sorrow not to me, but in some degree, in order not to say too much to all of you. So what he's saying is, this guy hurt a lot of us. It hurts the church when that kind of stuff goes on, and there has to be a discipline. Right? So people were offended and hurt by what went on. Right? Okay, let's continue. But notice, you should highlight this, put it in red marker, put some kind of note on your Bible, huge letters. All right? Everybody focus. Watch. Sufficient for such a one is this punishment which is inflicted by the majority. All right, so all commentators, everyone agrees that it was probably more likely the same person who, after the discipline, repented and then was seeking to be brought back into fellowship. And so Paul says, okay, this guy's seeking to come back. He repented. He obeyed the elders in the discipline that they demanded of him. He repented, wants to be brought back. And he goes, look, some of you, you're just going to keep punishing and punishing. That's enough.
That's enough punishment. That's enough slamming them and saying stuff. Bring them back into fellowship. That's what the text is saying. Let's continue. So sufficient for such a one is this punishment, which the chapel did, which is correct that you did that, but that's enough. There comes a point where we need to say, that's enough discipline. The guy repented, wants to be brought back. Let's bring him back. Verse 7. So that on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him. Ooh, that's where it gets tough. I can't believe what he did. That's such an evil act. But he repented. He listened to the discipline. He went through it. He repented, reflected. He wants to be brought back. What do you need to do now?
Forgive.
You need to forgive. Wow. See, that's where it's tough. You got to forgive. Now, we're talking about a person who's repented and wants to be brought back. Right? Okay. Not only forgive, but what's the next word that the text says? And comfort him. So forgive and comfort. Which means, brother, we're going to help you be strong and never go back there again. We're with you. God loves you. We welcome you back. We're not going to put this big old red tag on you, you know, sinner. All right. So then, verse 7 again. So on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him, lest somehow such a one be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Wherefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. All right. So we're experts at throwing them out, but what about bringing them back? You got to forgive, you have to comfort, and you have to reaffirm your love for him. All right. Why? Why do we need to do that? Give me a minute. This thing, got to go back in. Here we go. Why do we need to do that? All right. Now, don't miss it, please. Don't miss it. The why, all right? It's right there. Let somehow, verse 7, be such a one be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So in other words, he might despair. He might despair and says, okay, I'm a believer. I recognize and I acknowledge that I did a terrible sin. I was thrown out of the fellowship because of it. That's a correct discipline. It was so bad. But Lord, I want to come back. Is it possible? Or once you blow it like that, is it over for a Christian? Is it? No, it's not over. Right? Failure isn't final or is not fatal either. It's not final or fatal. Remember that. So he wants to be brought back. Man, but they kept disciplining him. He kept staying away and kept saying stuff. And it's like, look, this guy's going to get discouraged and he'll never come back again. And I'm telling you right now, there's believers in the streets right now walking around who feel like they've never been forgiven. Well, why go back to church? Is he just going to judge me? And I repented. I'm trying to live for God. And nobody walk alongside of me and restore me. And that's what's happening. Now, I'm talking about when somebody really repents and wants to be right. Because there's some that don't want to repent. And you don't want to restore that person, right? They won't repent.
See, how do you get to a place where you can really know and prove that the sorrow that was there is genuine, and whether that person that was set out, whether he's really stopped doing what he's doing? How do you go about going through the process of discovering whether he's still living that way?
Yeah, you can only do it to a certain point, brother. You're going to have accountability. I'm working with a couple of guys right now. We're going through Covenant Eyes. And if they go anywhere wrong, it'll tell me, hey, you know, this guy's going. And I call him right away. Stop. Right? So it tells me. So there's an accountability there. Right? And a constant. But how do you really know, brother? You know,
well, that's what I'm saying.
If he's following everything the elders say for him to do, has repented, and is showing that repentance, you have to just trust that it's true. And of course, you can do the accountability. You have to, the accountability part of it, right? Mm-hmm. Constant accountability, and that has to be there. But if he does temporarily stumble, what do we do? Hey, brother, come on, get back in line. We're not gonna, you're evil, and throw him out, right? We wanna, because he really wants to be brought back in, right? And that's, I'm gonna give some examples of how in other churches where I've worked, we've restored people in a minute, okay? So it says then that we don't want him to be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow, thinking, man, it's over, right? Now notice that's one reason, so you won't despair. Second reason, and look at verse 11. In order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Satan wants to take advantage. He's deceitful and always scheming. Number one, listen. Satan is a master of reminding you of your failures. Satan is a master of reminding you of your failures and causing the local church to be harsh and judgmental and not to restore. And that's exactly what Satan wants. That's exactly what he wants. For this local assembly to be considered the they'll never restore you. Once you blow it, that's it, you're out, and there's no hope. That's exactly what the devil wants. Listen, after what Peter did to Jesus, and if somebody were to deny the Lord in front of everybody, and he would want to be brought back, what would we do? We'd bring him back. Jesus went right back to Peter. Peter, I know that you're totally repentant because of what you did. You never thought you would, did you? No, I didn't. You were full of pride before, weren't you? Yes, I was. It's not there anymore, is it? No, it's not. Now, come on, I'm going to restore you, Peter. And you know, you saw that, how it happened in John. He restored him. And Peter went on and met some other goof-ups after that even, right? Remember Galatians, Paul said, I have to publicly tell him, you're wrong. Because Peter blew it. All right, so, restoration. The discipline part is always the easy part, amen? Right? But to bring him back, you have to look into your own heart and examine yourself. Right? And I'm telling you, the more you grow in the Lord, the less judgmental you'll be. The more you experience life. All right? So, we had several people that we disciplined in Houston. We were working in the church. One couple was caught in immorality. They were brought before the church and taken out. They repented, and then they brought them back up, and they welcomed them publicly. It was a beautiful thing to see. And they're going on for the Lord now. Right? There was another woman who was slamming the elders and the whole church up with her mouth loud over and over again. After the third meeting, we said to her in the meeting, this has to stop now or you're going to be removed from fellowship. Okay. She started again, right? We made a public announcement. She's removed from fellowship. Has not repented. And we told everybody, stop associating. It's just full of poison. And so that person was not restored because has not come back and said, I repent. So we can't restore someone who has not repented and asked to be restored to fellowship. Right? Does that make sense to you? Then there was another man that, praise the Lord, I led him to the Lord. We're going to the Lord. He was doing certain things that were not correct. We addressed it. And we said, we're gonna discipline you for 1 month. You can't take the Lord's Supper. We want you to reflect on what you're doing. He did. A month later, we met with him again. He says, I am so glad y'all did this. I missed the Lord's Supper, and this helped me. And I have repented. I want to be brought back. And we had a meeting. We said, the brothers brought back into fellowship. It was a beautiful thing. The only time we didn't bring back into fellowship when there was no repentance and no response. Otherwise, we brought him back. Okay? And so that text right there is teaching exactly that. So the Lord give us wisdom with that. All right. Now, there's okay. The third one is going to be quick. Don't even go there. Matthew 15. The personal conflict that needs to be reconciled or restored. Right? So basically it says, number one, take him alone. So let's say Jameson here says, hey man, you're goofy, I don't like you. And like, Jameson, right? That hurt my feelings. So I'm gonna go to Bob. You know, Jameson, he's always slamming me, always talking bad of me. Well, what do I do right there? I just went against the scripture. What should I do? Jameson, we need to talk. Come here. You know, what you said, man, really hurt me. You know, what? You know, please don't do that again, and you do one-on-one. He said, well, you're stupid. He didn't fix it. So then I said, okay, all right. Let's have two brothers meet with me. Jameson, you know, we talked alone. You know, I'm trying to address this issue. I have two witnesses. You know, let's get this right. No, I don't think I need to. I think you're dumb, all right? So then we're going to bring the elders into it. All right, notice it's not the elders yet. Then thirdly, you bring the church. The elders meet. Here's an issue. We try to work it out, right? And if the person won't repent, then it says, remove them, right? But the goal is always you're trying to win your brother. If he repents, the text says, you have won your brother. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather be known as a Christian who restores than one who disciplines and throws out a fellowship. And I think it would be good if the assemblies would be known as people who restore. It's a beautiful thing. But it takes the Spirit of God working in our hearts to make us people who restore. Because that's tough. Because you have to forgive. And you have to believe that they've actually repented and they're doing right and they're going to bless the assembly. But the Bible says we need to restore.
Yeah.
We need to restore. So if they repent, restore them.
I got a question.
Yes.
Sorry, because I know you usually don't take.
No, go for it.
Is there a point that the elders maybe should pursue the person who is out of fellowship to stay in touch with them and see how they're doing?
To a certain point. It depends. It depends. Every case is different. In some cases, the person that we dealt with, and I'm talking about my personal experience, right? The person that we dealt with didn't want to talk to us. Like, what are you going to do about it, right? Just leave it alone. When they're, and in other cases, the line of communication was open. And so we kept it there, right? We kept it there hoping for a reconciliation. Okay?
Could I ask a quick question?
Sure.
When do you, according to like Romans 6, there should be, and in Romans, there should be a natural love for the brethren. So the separation is enough punishment, like you said. So when do you see that you quit, like 1 Corinthians 5, you disassociate with them, you don't eat with them, like you mentioned. But is there a point where you see that maybe they weren't a brother or a sister, and so then you pursue them as an unsaved person? Where do you have you?
Again, you have to determine. Every case is different. Right. There's no case the same. Mm-hmm. The one guy that was doing that, I think I said it right here as an example once. One guy that supposedly I led to the Lord, right, was not living correct, right, with one of the ladies at in the assembly. We addressed it, and we said, it seems to us that you're not showing any fruit, that you're a believer. And then he says, well, I guess I never really was, and he walked away. Right? So in his case, when we asked him, did you really get saved? His own mouth said he didn't. And his actions showed that he didn't, and he walked away. He played the game for a little bit, right? In other cases, the true believers who just stumbled, because you know the flesh, right? Who stumbled into something, they would tell you, I never thought I would go there. And I feel so bad, right? And so one guy had to be removed once was an elder. And the problem with him was that he could never forgive himself for what he did, and he never did anything but just sit in the meetings from there on and didn't do anything, didn't participate. So in that case, he won't forgive himself, and he's listening to the lie of Satan that he's good for nothing now, right? And we met with him over and over again. Come on, brother. and oh, what I did, and you can never get past it. See, so every case is so different, right? And the Lord gives us wisdom to know how to deal with each one correctly. All right? Very good. Father, bless your word to our hearts and help us to be people who restore. In Jesus' name.
Amen.